life better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a heart.
Support for In the Garden comes from The Flower Farm, featuring fresh-cut flowers and bouquet subscriptions, soils and amendments, shade and black ground cloth. The Flower Farm, open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing.
Be without homegrown tomatoes. Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Welcome to KFSK's In the Garden. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson, on this beautiful day for gardening. And I'd like to introduce to you, all the way from Juneau, Master Gardener Ed Byarski. Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Mindy. It's up to 68 degrees now. It's a scorcher here.
What a nice day. That's right. So are you outside or are you in the greenhouse or are you working landscaping?
Yeah, I'm outside and actually headed over to a friend's place to check out his garden, see how his looks, and then home to pick blackberries and finish up before we head off to some other interesting part of the world.
That's right. It's going to be gorgeous where you're going to, I know. Okay, well, here we are in the first week of September, and what should folks be thinking about for gardening this week, or what are you doing in your garden besides getting ready to
harvesting,
go?
Harvesting and more of that. Two nights ago, we dug the first of our potatoes, and I was greatly impressed. Lots of nice, big, beautiful potatoes. And this is in ground I hadn't gardened for, 4 or 5 years. And I was hoping, of course, maybe there wouldn't be much scab, but there were a couple of varieties definitely had some scabby potatoes. So that tells me that they probably won't have potatoes in that ground again, in the future. So it'll be other stuff will go in there. Garlic and perennials and other vegetables and stuff, just no potatoes. So look at, see what comes of your harvest and then make decisions, whether you make notes in the garden or, for next year, planning ahead for that. And the other thing is work on, clean up as we're pulling stuff out, and then also work on the I've been doing a bunch of work in the greenhouse, getting ready to take off. So this morning I was clearing out the last of my cucumbers and making pickles from those, and we'll eat a few more yet tonight. But cleaning that out, and then looking at the tomatoes to see what's happening there, and I'm taking off the tops of the tomato plants. Some of these, the indeterminate ones, are 8 feet tall. They're still blooming, but watching our weather, it was 40 degrees inside my greenhouse this morning. So I'm taking off the flowers and the growing tips, all of those flowers that haven't set any fruit yet, so that the plant can push its energy into ripening the fruit that it already has.
Uh-huh. And then, are you using scissors? Are you snapping them off? How are you doing that?
Yeah, fingernails are sharp enough for that. Scissors work, clippers work, whatever you have. But, and then also looking at, I've got some of the determinate varieties, which they're only 2 to 3 feet tall, but much more thick leaves for those. And I'm thinning the leaves on the sunny side so that the sun can hit the fruits and, again, help to ripen those a little bit better. We saw some of that in the Funtz garden there in Petersburg when we were in their greenhouse, that they had cleared off a bunch of the leaves from there. So we're trying to push these tomatoes to ripen as much as we can. And so that means, it's not time for fertilizing. I am, just barely keeping them watered, so I want them pretty dry. And, again, that extra stress can also help push them toward ripening.
Sure. And so that's it. We're not going to get any more tomatoes. We're going to hope that the ones are green finish up. And then what else in the greenhouse?
Well, along with the cucumbers, I also pulled up the dill that I was growing at the same time, so that all went into the pickles this morning. My cantaloupe, my muskmelons are, I don't know, I'm not greatly hopeful. But we'll see when I get back from vacation if I've got anything to eat. I mean, some of these may be two-bite melons. I mean, they are the size of apples, uh-huh. The biggest ones, the size of large apples. So it was an experiment, you know, just like always. And once I do my cleanup of those, get all the cucumbers out, I'll do a little bit more refertilizing, mix in some more compost, and then I'll be planting some more spinach and kale inside the greenhouse that will start to sprout. And again, depending on what our weather's like, whether I get some to eat, some of the young, really small stuff, I may get a chance to eat later this fall,
uh-huh.
Or it'll just survive the winter and then take off in the spring as soon as the days get longer with one or two layers of Rime horticultural fabric on it to protect it a little bit.
That was my next question. Now that you're cleaning out the greenhouse, trimming off the tomatoes, you're making space in there, were you going to be planting anything else? So that answered my question about the kale and spinach. So
yeah, and then outdoors, I'm still planting. I mean, today I planted a big yellow cedar trees and rhododendrons and hostas and other stuff for people. So I'm still planting outdoor perennials and trees. This is, again, still a good time of year for all of that. The soil is relatively warm, you know, 50s and moist. We did water those because we've had, now 3 days of dry weather. So we wanted to water this stuff in, loosening things up again. So again, you can keep doing that kind of planting. I've been harvesting seeds, primrose seeds. I've got buckets and fish boxes full of primula seeds, seed heads, drying in my garage. So I'll be sorting and cleaning seeds, and I'm starting some of those. And even a few that were from the drumstick primulas way back in May when it was so nice and dry and warm. They ripened their seeds early. I planted them, and they sprouted almost immediately. So I've already got little plants from those that are going to go in the garden, which is, you know, that's about 9 to 12 months ahead of schedule. Let's put it that way.
That's amazing.
So it is. I mean, I never would have thought that that would happen. I figured I planted them, and then, you know, I wouldn't see them till next year, and they sprouted really fast. So that's great. I'm a little bit ahead of the game there. And looking at other projects that are coming up, and I'll be building a few more garden boxes yet.
Great. Now, it's time to plant bulbs in about a month, and so now is the time to be looking for them. And maybe we can talk a little bit, for people who have never planted bulbs, what type of bulbs grow well here and what they should be looking for. If they're looking through a magazine,
yeah,
or going to look when they're out of town, or asking,
sure,
folks here in town to order some for them.
The key thing to remember is, you've got to have a good place to plant them, which is going to mean, and it doesn't have to be full sun. It can be half sun, and it can be in an area that will, you know, starts out, you may have some leafy trees there that will grow up and kind of shade that area eventually. But that area, as long as you've got good drainage and at least hopefully half day of sun,
mm-hmm,
would be nice. You know, if you have to add extra sand to your muskeg, make sure you've got good drainage. Soil depth is going to need, depending on what you plant, whether it be the small bulbs need 3 to 4 inches. The big stuff like daffodils and tulips, lilies, those should have 6 to 8 inches at least, plus good drainage below that. So, I mean, you could plant in a mixture of sand and gravel and a little bit of peat, muskeg, and they would be very happy with that really good drainage. So, you know, line up your bulb fertilizer that you're going to need, and then think about the size and shape and colors. So we can put in a lot of bulbs in a pretty small space. If we look at normally the bulbs you are going to be buying will be either packaged or on the big bulk boxes. They will have information.
Mm-hmm.
How tall do these things grow? When do they flower? How deep do you need to plant them? All that information is normally there, so then that you can kind of choose And when you look at the timing for bloom, it also means a gardener can plan for getting different flowers, different kinds of flowers, starting in, well, as early as late February, March with snowdrops, and crocus to follow, and daffodils to follow that, and tulips to follow those, and lilies to follow those. So all of this stuff can be planted fairly thickly in a, you know, a good bed, so you have continuous color from, like I said, say early March into July, really.
And I know people ask me all the time about layering bulbs into a pot. Maybe we should just talk briefly about how to do that for those who don't have, maybe they're just going to garden on a porch and they want to put a few bulbs in into one pot, but they want to have a little variety.
Sure. So again, think about, you know, well, when do you want these to bloom? And then work your way backwards from there. So if you want them to be blooming, say, in mid-May, you're looking at, that's kind of the end of the season for daffodils, but that would be great for tulips. There'd be lots of tulips available. So then think about color combinations, and I'm not even going to get into that one.
Right.
Different people have different preferences, whether it be purples and whites or purple and pink or yellow and purple, whatever that happens to be. But think about the color combinations. Sometimes you get it all right. Sometimes it's a weird combination. I've done both. But then look at the height of these bulbs. So maybe you want some tall ones and some shorter ones in there. So, and again, with the tulips alone, say a mid-season blooming tulips, there are some that are only some of the species tulips, and they're different sections of tulips that... some of these may only be 6 or 8 inches tall. Some of them may be 15 inches tall. Some may be as much as 3 feet tall if we've got good conditions, fertilizer, you know, good quality bulbs and all of that. So, yeah, you can either have one layer of just tulips, or you can use one large pot and have, like in the garden, you can start out with some snowdrops and crocus and daffodils and tulips all in the same pot. And so then you are, you know, you're going to need a deep pot for this, something probably
right.
12 inches deep.
Okay.
So your tulips and daffodils are going to be down there at 8 inches or so deep.
Then you
and
add more soil.
With fertilizer underneath them. And then on top of that, you put 3 or 4 inches of soil, a little bit more fertilizer, and then some of these small bulbs, the crocus and the snowdrops, or blue scilla or something like that. And those smaller bulbs tend to be earlier blooming. And then, you get this succession of flowers in the same pot.
And, that's what I was going to ask you. So we're going to layer it kind of like a lasagna, a layer of bulbs and then your soil and then another layer and then your soil. And then you end up with the small ones on the top. And it doesn't matter if, let's say, you might have planted a daffodil bulb on top of a tulip bulb after a few inches of soil. It's okay?
Not especially. They'll work their way around each other. And through the other stuff. So that's normally not a problem. I suppose if they're directly one on top of the other, you know, one might hit it, and then of course it's kind of bends sideways to go up and around. So, you know, you can work on your spacing there. Give them some room. So, and again, we're not necessarily planning. We're in the garden. We're, you know, in the ground in the garden. We would be hoping that at least some of these would come back year after year.
Right.
In a pot is kind of iffy, you know, so whether you're, again, if the people don't have, you know, they live in an apartment, they don't have ground to do this, so they just dump it out on the end of the season and then start fresh, or give it to somebody else, and they might be able to salvage some of these. With tulips, very often don't come back well year after year. Usually the first year is great, because they've got all the nutrients they need stored up in the bulb. So if you know you're not going to be keeping these anyway, just growing them as an annual, you don't even need to fertilize them, because all the nutrients they need for that first year of growth is stored in that bulb. So then, if you're just going to plan to dump them out or compost them or whatever, where some of the other things, the crocus, normally come back well, the snowdrops and muscari and some of these, they usually come back quite well year after year. But the other thing to consider is where, once you plant these in this pot, where is that pot going to be stored through the winter before you bring it out? You can't just leave it out on your open deck usually, because we'll get freeze-thaw action, and that, especially in an exposed pot, and if it's very wet in there, as it likely is going to be, the pot may freeze solid, and the ice in the, you know, between the dirt is going to crush bulbs.
That was my next question. Yeah.
So then, find a place. Can you at least insulate it? Again, this might be scraps of foam insulation that you make, push them up against the side of the house and cover them up really thoroughly. Have bags of styrofoam peanuts that you can put around them. Put a tarp over the top so that they don't get so wet. You know, you don't get this solid block of ice, hopefully, in January or even in December, maybe, or even November. Who knows what the weather's going to do? Or if you can have, better yet, is setting the pots on the ground. You've got a group of pots, put them together, and then put the insulation and a tarp over them, so that then the ground helps slow the freezing and thawing action. Some people might put them in a root cellar, and then they're actually, you know, can actually even force them so that they'll be earlier. If you want to have tulips instead of in mid-May, you want to have tulips in April, then potentially you can get your chilling, the bulbs chilling time that they need. And there's instructions for forcing bulbs are quite available to see how long that you need to chill them for, that, you know, below 40 degrees. And then you bring them into a warm place, and they're ready to sprout and grow and flower. So that they get all their chilling time by the end of March, and you can warm them up and bring them into a not too warm a place, but a nice bright spot. And you might be able to have tulips in April, or daffodils in early April, or even late March.
Okay, and what about, do we want to water them at all when we put them away? Any watering at all through the winter, or just leave them be?
Well, it depends on how wet your potting soil, I suppose, is. Yeah, at least they should be moist, because they will take up moisture. They will be growing roots, you know, once you plant these in 1st of October or mid or late October, just like with garlic, they will be growing roots down into soil, which should be at least moist. And if this were just dry potting soil, then they would more likely shrivel up and die in there. So that would not be good.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, at least initially moist soil, but then that should, you know, one dose of moisture or one dose of rainfall should be enough to keep them going through the winter.
Okay.
Again, if you've got them in a root cellar or an indoor or something like that, it's worth checking them, just like, you know, we'll talk about overwintering begonias and fuchsias and that kind of stuff too, and the same thing applies. It's worth checking them to see that they have the moisture and see what's happening in there, if or when they start to sprout too, if they're going to be sprouting early.
Okay. I have a couple of questions, more questions to ask you, but first I want to give other folks the opportunity to call in and ask a question at 772-3808 or 888-772-3808. If you have a gardening question, give us a call here and we'll see what we can do to answer. So our bulbs, we're going to plant bulbs, and we're going to get garlic in about the same time.
Yep, that's right.
Yep.
Same time, and really the only difference
next month,
for garlic,
right?
Is, well, there's a couple of them. First, we don't have to plant them very deep. Mm-hmm. I guess, and that corresponds to something like crocus or snowdrops that are usually 2 to 3 inches deep at the most. More fertilizer, however, they are pretty heavier feeders. They do have enough to at least grow next year. But again, we want to harvest these. We want to get them to full maturity, so more fertilizer. And the other thing is having the cover of some plastic over them for the winter, which works for the bulbs too, if you don't have other stuff in your ground there. Keep them a little drier. They'd be happier drier if possible.
Okay. And so now that, you know, the ground is, it's still moist, we can put our bulbs in, and you said your greenhouse was down to 40 degrees the other night. So, you know, I would bet that the first frost is, you know, not too far away, I mean, what should we be doing about frost protection? Because I know the next time we get together might be and talk is a couple of weeks from now, and the weather might be cooler, and then it'll be time to get ready for frost protection.
Well, it will be. And so I'm looking where I'm parked here. I'm looking out at this my friend's dahlia collection in his front yard. And dahlias are a semi-tropical plant. So folks who have some of these not fully hardy plants, you know, some of the hardier perennials and stuff, would want to have their blankets, have their old blankets ready, have layers of rime ready if they're going to be covering stuff up. And or think about moving them under shelter, either into a greenhouse, even underneath a porch deck. A lot of times is enough for that first light frosts. And but don't, you know, putting plastic over a plant usually isn't going to do it, because the plastic, wherever the plant's leaves, flowers, whatever touch the plastic, is likely to get frosted. So that's where having, if you have a blanket and then plastic over that would be worthwhile.
Okay.
Then it'll actually hold more heat. And you can do stuff like putting buckets of water right around tender plants, because, again, those buckets of water will release heat as they freeze, and that can help keep stuff from freezing around. It makes things happen much more slowly, I should say. And that applies in the greenhouse, too, so that you can have buckets or milk jugs or something like that full of water, maybe around your tomatoes, and, you know, they make those, the wall of water first, pushing tomatoes in the springtime, but you can kind of do the same thing for keeping them alive later in the fall.
Okay. So, blankets and not plastic, you know, what about, and you said the rime will work pretty good without anything else? I've started plants early with rime.
Yeah, there's different thicknesses of rime. If you go into some of the catalogs, there's the very lightest material that we use primarily for protection from root maggots, to keep the bugs from getting in. But there are, you know, gradually heavier and heavier layers, and they talk about giving, you know, 1, 2, 4, 5 degrees of frost protection. And, you know, basically like a fleece blanket will do the same thing, but you can get the remake comes in, can come in large rolls if you want to, if folks are serious about stretching the season for certain crops. Most of mine, I suppose the most tender thing I have outdoors is the tomato or potatoes. And again, if the potatoes frost, well, so be it. That means it's, you know, they stop growing, and then we get ready to harvest them. And same thing happens with the begonias even here that I'm looking, or the dahlias, that if they get lightly frosted, hopefully that the pots don't freeze to damage the tubers. But again, then it's time to cut those up and work on storage. And again, we'll talk more about that one.
Okay. All right. Well, the deer have been coming out here pretty strong. One of the trees that I got from you, so far I've been, you know, the deer haven't touched them. And it was yesterday there was a deer tugging on one of them.
Uh-oh.
And I had to scare it away, and it took me a while to scare it away. It wasn't really believing me that I was going to actually throw this rock at it, but it was tugging away, and I was horrified. I ran out in my pajamas, and it was a scene.
And somebody, too bad somebody wasn't videotaping that one. That would have been great. But still, I still think there needs to be a harpoon season. You know, you need to harvest more deer. That's all that's to it, you know. If they're in your yard, there should be, anyway, that's my personal opinion. Eat more deer.
Yeah. Well, definitely they're out and about, so don't forget to keep your deer spray out if you're using deer spray. I kind of pulled a lot of my plants out of the front this year and haven't put anything else back in there yet because I'm waiting for spring, but I need to get on those new little beautiful trees that I got and make sure that they don't eat all the leaves off before they turn a beautiful color. But beautiful trees, and they are. The maples are turning a beautiful color right now.
Yeah, things are starting to turn color around town. There's branches and leaves, and, well, with the wind we had, too, there's leaves, loose leaves. So we are definitely in fall mode. New snow on the mountaintops around us here. And so we're getting ready for a variety of adventures that need to that can take advantage of this lovely weather.
That's right. Ed, we'll let you go so you can finish preparing and getting all your gardening done before you take off on your trip. We hope you have a great time, and we'll talk to you when you get back. You'll have to
Hopefully
tell us all about it.
I have a little report on Irish gardens and
Irish
and
beer
and sundry things that we got to see along the way.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks, Ed.
Okay, bye, Mindy.
Bye-bye.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when
Press
you don't
one.
Get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer, all winter without them.
Support for In the Garden comes from The Flower Farm, featuring fresh-cut flowers and bouquet subscriptions, soils and amendments, shade and black ground cloth. The Flower Farm, open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays, at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing. And thanks for listening to In the Garden. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Ed. In the meantime, we'll try to have some special guests on In the Garden for the next couple of weeks. Remember, In the Garden is a call-in show, so you can call in and ask questions. Coming up next, we have country music until 4 o'clock, and then All Things Considered with KFSK News beginning at 4:30. Then we'll bring you Alaska News Nightly at 6. It's Classic with Lori Christensen tonight at 6:30. Selected Shorts at 9. Radio Free Petersburg with Steve Barry at 10 o'clock, and then at midnight, BBC World Service live from London. Have a great afternoon.
Change this life I lead. Well, I'd be Johnny Tomato Seed, 'cause I know what this country needs. It's homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. When I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden be much better, and I could be pushing homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy.